Here's a question for you. The resurrection. Resurrection. Do you really believe it happened? I know it's easy to say yes, because no one can disprove it, right? So it's easy. It's something easy to say, but nor can you prove it. Okay, maybe. But it's easy to say, oh yeah, I believe that. I believe, yeah, absolutely, I believe. But I want, before you raise yourself up too high on that halo scale, right? I want you to put yourself in the shoes or the sandals of the disciples, and because they witnessed everything that unfolded, the whole thing. Oh, and by the way, if you have a iPhone or Android phone or whatever, or an iPad, or you can get the Bible app. We have an app, and and you can follow along more detail with the message, because there's more detailed sermon notes there. Okay, so if you have that, if you don't, oh well. Okay, back to where I was. You're in the disciples' sandals. They witnessed everything as it unfolded, right? They were there. They were there when Jesus was arrested. They heard about, because they weren't all there when Jesus was executed. But the disciples were there when the women came back on the Sunday morning and said, "He is risen," right? They were there when he appeared in the room. When they were locked away, fearing for their lives because they thought they were going to be the next ones on the chopping block. And you think of what they saw, you think of what they heard, and imagine if Jesus just appeared right here, right now. Do you think your belief meter would go up a little bit? Huh? Oh, yeah. But you said you believe. How can it go up any higher? I'm kidding. I'm playing with you, Christine. I'm just playing with you. That's all. I would hope mine would, but then I think of the disciples, and I think of the story, and it's puzzling, because you read Matthew, and Matthew 28, it says these words here. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. And Matthew notes, quote, "But some of them doubted." There's Jesus in this unusual body form, and it was because a body that can appear and not appear, that's weird, right? That doesn't happen. We can't do that. So we don't know, we really don't know what the resurrected body is like, right? But here they are, Jesus, post-resurrection, or like post-crucifixion, after he's resurrected. There he is, and Matthew notes, some of them doubted. Amazing. And then, of course, you have the story that John tells in his gospel, chapter 20. And here it's the story of Mr. Thomas, one of the disciples. Now, to give Thomas a break, when Jesus appeared in the room before the disciples, Thomas wasn't there. He was out doing whatever. I don't know. Maybe he missed the appointment. He didn't know. He forgot. Something slipped. But he wasn't there. Anyway, so he meets with the disciples, and they're Jesus appeared to us, okay? Now, understand, this is good evidence because it's not just one of the disciples telling Thomas that we've seen the Lord. It is all the disciples, meaning that's corroborated evidence. It's not just you telling me, it's you and you and you and you who are all there telling me the same thing. That's pretty good evidence. And Thomas's response is like, you got to go, really? But Thomas goes, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and placed my hand into the wound in his side. Now, we really dump on Thomas, and I feel sorry for him because we've named him Doubting Thomas, as if we wouldn't be doubting. And I go, and I think of myself, and I go, no, maybe, I don't know, I don't want to put Thomas too down and raise myself up too much, but he was the unlucky one. And you have to give Thomas credit for being straight up. He didn't say, because what would we say? In our little head would be going, ball. And what we'd be saying, yes, I believe, yes, yes, yes. Thomas isn't like that. He's just straight up honest. And he goes, unless, dudes, I can put my finger in his, touch his hands, put my finger in his wound, touch his wound, I don't believe, I don't buy it. He's straight up. And there's a lesson even in that about with Jesus. Be straight up. Don't sugarcoat it. Let me tell you a sugarcoating, okay? This isn't at you. This is more at me than anything. But we sang this morning, you give and take away, and pain and the suffering, and joy, you know, and we were dancing to it. Like, no, really? Until the suffering comes and nails you right in the side of the head, and then all of a sudden you're not going, yay, oh, thank you, thank you. I know that, and I'll tell you more of that near the end of the teaching here. But just aside, Thomas teaches us, don't sugarcoat. Be straight up with Jesus, because Jesus can deal with straight up. But you start to fake it, you can't pull a fast one. You can fool me. You can fool most of, you know, everybody else. You can't fool April, but you can fool most everybody else. Right? Right? You can fool people. You can't fool Jesus. Because he sees your heart. God sees your heart. So when you go, oh, yeah, yeah, but in your brain you're going something else. And it's so, lesson from Thomas, don't sugarcoat. But this, what John writes about Thomas, isn't an isolated incident. In fact, this whole thing about belief, this whole thing about belief is the core issue Jesus deals with day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year in his ministry. While he was here on earth, he dealt with that every time. And you see that in every story, in every parable he tells. He's dealing with this issue here. It's not, that is the core issue that he has to deal with. And what happens is because we sometimes talk about belief as if belief in itself is what it's about. And it's not about the thing of belief, because we can believe in this. I can believe in the trees, and you know that there's something about belief. And it's not positive thinking. Just believe it's going to happen and it'll happen. It'll come to you. It's not that. What happens, and you'll notice, if you think about it, take time to think about it, our belief gets misdirected. And you can't see that very well. It looked really cool on my laptop. Doesn't look very cool right here. But it gets misdirected. That's a misdirected word across there. And but it's the whole thing. Our faith somehow gets shifted. Our belief gets shifted. And we'll unpack that as we go further. But this has been an issue. This was an issue with the disciples right immediately following the resurrection. This thing was. It was an issue. It's been an issue with the church all down through the centuries. It's an issue with the church today, and I believe it's an issue with us as well. Us. I think it is. I think it is. But it's one of those things, right, that has to be dealt with, that Jesus won't let go of. And somewhere along the line, our belief gets misdirected. Because when you, at the end of the day, we're all Thomases and we're all Thomasinas, right? You can identify with him. You can. You really can. Oh, doubting us. Oh, doubting us who think, oh, no, not me. But let's keep it on the subject of Thomas. Thomas does teach us a lot about belief. So I want to take us in the Gospel of John to chapter 14. And here, what's happened here in John 13, just so you understand the story, they've had the Last Supper, preparing for that final week before Jesus goes to the cross. Jesus has washed their feet. They had wine and had bread. Jesus said, the bread is my body, guys. I'm going to the cross. The blood is what's going to be poured out. My blood is being poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. It was a downer type of a meal, right? Because it was like, no, you can't. What? Everything was topsy-turvy. And then Jesus says these words in John 14. He says this, guys, listen, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. And if this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? Listen, when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas shows up. No, we don't. Thomas says, actually, we have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus tells him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Thomas's question to Jesus and Jesus's answer to Thomas's question is revelatory, is eye-opening to the understanding the whole thing of the belief and how belief actually operates in the kingdom of God, because it's totally different than what we think belief is and what Jesus says belief is. Because that's where truth originates, is from the kingdom of God, not from what we think belief means. And I know that this is maybe like, what? Isn't belief just belief? No, belief is belief, but we misdirect it. And what Jesus is trying to bring back to people all the time, and it's just constantly bringing it back. But when you grasp this, it will change how you read Scripture. It will change how you walk out your life with Jesus. It will change things. Tracking? I heard one yes. Uh-oh. Better back up a bit. Okay, there. So Jesus is preparing his disciples for the inevitable that's going to happen. And he can see that they are visibly shaken, and he tells them, listen, guys, don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm going to make sure I'm with you. You don't have to worry. And then he makes this pivotal statement, which I would call as a kingdom statement. And he says, you know the way to where I am going. And that's a kingdom statement. You know the way to where I am going. And Thomas, he interjects. And in his interjection, in his statement that Thomas makes, he reveals that he still hasn't gotten. And neither have we, by the way. You haven't gotten it. We miss it all the time. We miss it. And Thomas here, he says to them, as you read, no, Jesus, actually we don't know. We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way? I don't know if you get that, if you catch that. Thomas views a destination. He wants to know the destination. Because if I know the destination, then I can figure out how to get there. And so he wants to know the destination. It's like when you're going on vacation. If I said, we're going on vacation, woohoo, get yourself ready, you'd be still wanting to know where, right? It makes a difference. If we're going to Barbados, awesome, I know what to pack. If we're going to Siberia, I know what to pack. It's different. That's what Thomas is asking for. No, we don't know where you are going. So how would we know the way? That's what he wants to know. What Thomas is saying is what a lot of us think or need. We think we need. I'll believe it when I see it. That's what I need. I need to see it. I need to see it. Because when I see it, then I'll believe it. It's sort of like, show me a healing and I'll believe it. I need to see it. And that was the Pharisees too. Keep them in your mind there. But that was the Pharisees as well. Thomas was, show me the destination and then I'll get there. Another way of saying it, tell me the formula. You don't think when the disciples asked Jesus, can you tell us how to pray? They were looking for the magic formula. Show us how to pray so we can do what you do, right? Methodology. We want a method. We like that. We like, if this morning I could have laid out 7 steps to have a more powerful relationship with Jesus, you would have gone, awesome. Take the 7 steps, and I'm at 7 because that 7 is the perfect number, right? Actually, should have 40 would be better. But the 7 steps, we like that because we like to be able to know the destination and be able to get there and work our way to it. And Jesus corrects Thomas. And he corrects him with a phrase right out of the kingdom, the central kingdom. And his phrase is this: I am the way, Thomas. I am the truth, Thomas. I am the life, Scott. It's me. It's me. And Jesus is saying, no one can come to God unless you believe me. Put your belief in me. There's not a way, Thomas. Right? Jesus is the method. He is the formula. He is the one step to wholeness. It's not a 7 step, guys. It's not a methodology. It's not how you pray that will do it. Jesus isn't waiting for you. Figure out the puzzle and then I'll come. Get the music right and I'll show up. Right? It's not that, because then that's relied on us, right? Listen, we even want to figure out. Won't go there. You just have to be careful. You just have to really be careful about wanting to break things down into steps and formulas and to thinking that if we do this, then Jesus will respond. Then the Father God will respond, because it's not the way it works. You read the Gospels. What's the formula for praying for healing? What is it? You know what's interesting? I haven't yet. Maybe you have. Doesn't mean it hasn't happened, just because I haven't seen it. I have yet to see a televangelist or a healer on somebody's eyes. Why? Probably offering wouldn't be so great that day. I'm sorry. But you know what I mean? We don't pick that one. We like the other ones, laying on of hands. See that? Because that one's more, well, yeah, and it protects your reputation, right? People like that one. That's okay. But don't do the spit mud thing. No. No, there's no formula. It's not there. It's not there. Because at the end of the day, Jesus is the method. Jesus is the formula. He's the one step to wholeness and to life. He's it. He's the center. He's why we come. He's why we gather. No other reason. That's it. And I'm not just showing you a different way to look at things here either, guys. Our belief is generally misdirected. My belief is generally misdirected. It's on, my belief is on how we do things, how I do things. My tendency is to, I do want the seven steps to success. I do want to have a formula. I do want you to lay it out for me. I'm a logical thinker, Jesus. Give me a break. Help me to get here. And Jesus always pulls me back. Me, I'm the formula. I'm it. I'm it. Rest on me. It's me. So let's do a little bit of a test here. A little bit of a test. Two stories from the Bible to show that it's about belief. It's not about what we think it is. This is where we can sometimes get trapped. These two right here. Now, I've unpacked that more in the Bible app. I have the full scripture passage, but that's where I'm taking it from. You know the one about the Roman officer, right? He had a slave who was dying, and he came to Jesus. And now, this guy, he was a lover of the Jewish people. He even contributed money for a building of their synagogue. This Roman officer, he was a great guy. We don't know his name. But he came to Jesus, and in that, he says, this is what he says. I'll read it to you, starting in verse 5, Matthew 8. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, "Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain." And Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the officer said, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, and come, and they come. And if I say yes to my slaves, do this, they do it." And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, "I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel." Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, "Go back home. Because you believed, it has happened." And the young servant was healed in that same hour. I've taught, this is about authority. And I've heard other people talk about, it's about authority, understanding authority, that Jesus has all authority. And I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not about authority. It's about belief in Jesus. That's what it's about. That's what Jesus was amazed at. Jesus wasn't amazed because, somebody understands this authority thing. He finally understands, I'm at the top of the heap. Good. Poof, servant's better. No, it's about the fact that this guy gets it. His faith is in me. His faith, that's, he gets it. That's what he was amazed at. Full faith in Jesus. He understood, if Jesus says it, done. That's belief. That's belief. And anything else, when that gets, and it gets misdirected when we put it, Our belief has to be on understanding authority. There's a teaching there about authority, but this is about belief and unbelief, this one. The other one, the demon-possessed boy, Mark tells a story. Other gospel writers tell it too, but from Mark 9 here. And here, so Jesus has gone up with his three closest disciples up to the mountain or wherever, and the transfiguration happened. You know, the big glow around his body shined and that, and there was all that. They had this awesome experience, right? He comes back down with his other three friends there, and the other disciples are there. There's commotion going on, and there's a father with his young boy who is demonized, and there's commotion, and apparently the father went to the disciples and said, "Can you please pray, cast out the demon?" And they couldn't do it, and all this noise is going on. Like, why can't they cast out this demon? Right? That's what he wants to know. And then so let me pick up at verse 19. Mark 9, verse 19. Jesus said to them, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire, into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. That's similar to when we pray for when someone wants healing, wants God to heal them, and we pray, Father, we just pray for healing right now. We just ask. And Lord, if it be your will, we just pray. And if not, Lord, then just cover them with your love, right? That's me. That's how I pray sometimes, okay? That's similar to this. If you can. And Jesus says, well, I think I can. No, Jesus is sort of like dumbfounded. Verse 23. What do you mean? If I can. Like, it's like, what does that mean? What do you mean, if I can, Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. And it's not just, I believe. It's believe in me that I can do this. That I'm the one. That I'm the strong man in the house. And the father instantly cries out, and this is beautiful because I hear again, he's like Thomas being straight up. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. And then I want to zip down to verse 28. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit? Again, they want to know, can you teach us a formula, please? Like, what's the deal here? And Jesus replies, this kind can be cast out only by prayer. Why prayer? Is prayer a formula? No, it is not. Because prayer takes you to who? Jesus. Takes you to the Father. That's what it is. It's spending time with the Father. Remembering who the Father is. Because when the Father speaks, the demons check out. Because they know who Jesus is. James says, bouncing over to James, where am I here? I'm losing my place. Ugh. James says, and I don't even have a reference. I think it's chapter 2, something like that. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. Why do the demons tremble? Why do the demons tremble? We have one answer.
Because they know who Jesus is.
There we go. You don't have to be afraid to answer. You won't get it wrong. We can get it wrong here. This is where you get it wrong. This is where we practice. Get it wrong, right? They tremble because they know the power of God. They tremble because when God speaks, boom, they're out. They know who God is. They know what it's about. They know what it's about. You could go story after story through Scripture. One of the things you'll hear Jesus talk about is the yeast of the Pharisees, right? Warning to the disciples. What's the yeast? It's unbelief. That's the yeast. That starts getting massaged in. Belief gets misdirected then. And how can belief get misdirected? I've given you some examples, but here's some examples how we misdirect. Our belief goes in churches, or a favorite teacher, or a favorite preacher or a favorite pastor. If we can go see them, then we'll find it, right? If we can go over here, then and really in reality our belief is in if we go to this, then we will encounter Jesus. And that's not the deal. That's not what Jesus is talking about throughout the Gospels. That's not what Paul talks about. That's why Paul says, if I live, I live for Christ. If I die, I die for Christ. That's why Paul, you hear the phrase that in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus, with Christ Jesus, that Christ Jesus was the center. The only reason that the early church could break away from this just being a little club and the gospel go out to the Gentiles, because it was about Jesus. If Jesus was going to the Gentiles, they were going to the Gentiles. They weren't bound by their doctrines and traditions. And sometimes we get our beliefs and our doctrines and our traditions. We do. And that's not where your belief is, should be. It'd be great to see an organization, a church, under their website, you know, homepage. Then you see about, and you scroll down, it has statement of faith. Wouldn't it be great to see statement of faith? Click, Jesus. No, but we want it detailed. What exactly do you believe about Jesus? Well, you know, and that's what we do. We unpack the sucker. And as if we get it right, then we got it. And it's no. I don't think any of us have it, by the way. I think when we get to heaven, it'll be, can you please hand in your statement of faith? And then it'll come back with all red writing on it, eh? I think. I don't know. Maybe not. Anyway, but where your belief is, where we put our belief, and I hear, and I've done it too, put my belief in tithing is one. If you tithe, you get back, right? No, I give because Jesus is a giver. He's generous. So I do what Jesus does. That's why I give. I don't give because tithing works. It's Jesus works. That's why we give. Jesus works. And if I'm tweaking you today, good. Wrestle with this. Now let's go back to the story of Thomas after the resurrection. Jesus offers the proof to Thomas that his resurrected body is real, right? Thomas can feel it, feel the wound in the side and go, and he goes, my Lord, my God, right? And then Jesus makes this definitive statement. You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Now, I wish I had understood this. But the key word in that phrase is, which one do you think is the key word? Come on, go for a fail. Come on. What's that? Believe? What do you think? Without? So far, zero. Certainly somebody here. What? Who? Hey! If I had something to give you there, Bill, I would. Gosh, you got it. Blessed. What's that? No. Only because he gets it right. Good for you. Teacher's pet. Yes, that's right. Blessed. And blessed doesn't mean happy. I know sometimes that has been inferred in various teachings. If you've maybe two decades ago, I remember one teacher describing the Beatitudes as happy. Happy are those, happy, happy. Happy is determined on luck, on your circumstances. If circumstances go well, you're happy. And this isn't that. Blessed isn't that. In fact, so we're going to do a little Greek teaching, and we're going to wrap it up. The word that is used in the New Testament, the original Greek, is the word makarios. Makarios. And makarios says, is the understanding is this. And this isn't me. I'm going to give credit to who credit is due here. The makarios is a state of being marked by fullness from God. Okay, it's the fact that Jesus put the Spirit within us, right? And that as a result of having the Spirit in me, I should be fully satisfied with life. That's what blessed means. That a person, because they have the Spirit of God, because God's shown his favor on them, they are blessed and they are satisfied with life regardless of what happens in life. Regardless of what happens. It doesn't matter When we sang the song, what I was talking about, you know, you give and take away. If you in that state, not on a Sunday morning when the sun's shining and all the birds are tweeting, when you hit the ditch and everything is just going sideways and you can stay sat in that place, that's blessed. Because your belief is in Jesus. Your belief is in Father God. That's where your belief lies. Because being happy is dependent on your circumstances in life. And if you're like me, your circumstances don't always go the way you want them to go. And we become unhappy. And if you let it go further, you become miserable. Right? And downright grouchy. Right? But it's this is blessed that regardless of circumstances, we are satisfied with life. And let me tell you something. And this is just coming to me now, like little ticker tape. And I think if the church could live in that blessed state, that would be a huge testimony to the world. To see people who are at peace, content, when life's going to hell in a handbasket. I think. Okay, so I'm grabbing this stuff from, it's called the Complete Word Study Dictionary of the New Testament by Dr. Spiros Zoriatis. I think that's how you're, I don't know. I probably just slaughtered the name. But he's a guy who spent 46 years of his life involved in unpacking the language of Scripture and the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic and unpacking it for us and writing this huge volume, which he called the Complete Word Study Dictionary. 46 years. I rest on his shoulders, right? I'm standing on his shoulders, somebody who's given themselves. The academic studies that have gone on in the past are awesome. I bless these people, and you should too. And we need more today. I want to see more people doing this, digging in. I want God to pick out the brainiacs in the church and go and dig in, because it's fascinating. But this guy, I'll just call him Spiros. That's easier than his last name. That's where I'm drawing this from. And here was this statement he makes. To be makarios, or blessed, is equivalent to having God's kingdom within one's heart. That person's satisfaction comes from God, not from favorable circumstances. End quote. You want the kingdom of God? That's the kingdom of God. When Jesus looked at Thomas and said, because you've seen, you believe. Blessed. The kingdom is in. Not what you've done, Thomas. The kingdom is in those who not seeing me, believe me. Believe. They are blessed. Because they are satisfied with life. They can stand. And it doesn't matter about the circumstances or the situation. That is blessed, Thomas. They are blessed. Those people who can put their full weight on me. And a true statement of that, a true picture, is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I've used them a few times in the last couple of weeks. Those guys, when they stood up to King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, that's found in the book of Daniel. And Nebuchadnezzar, because they wouldn't bow down to the idol, Nebuchadnezzar said, got to throw you into the furnace. You got to be executed by burning. Unless you bow. Why don't you guys bow? Just do it. Just bow, and we won't have to do this. And they could stand up there, and they could go, look at Nebuchadnezzar. Our God can deliver us. He can save us from this. But we want you to know, even if he doesn't, we're not bowing. We're not bowing. There is Makarios. That's Makarios. That's blessed. And that's what you see with the apostles. That's what you see with Peter after, you know, as the church is birthed in that, living in that place of solid, solid belief. And so the point to take away today, it's what the title is. It's not what you believe. It's who you believe. That's where your faith has to be grounded, anchored in. Not in anything else, because what happens is you launch it, you hook it onto a formula or a method or a statement of faith, and that gets shaken, and that is connected to you, who you see Jesus, and you think the whole thing is shaken, the whole thing. But the point is, you anchor in Jesus, things shake, that doesn't shake, and you stand firm. And that's what Jesus' point was. I'm rambling now. We're going to end this. That was Jesus' point in the Sermon on the Mount. At the end of it, he came to the end and he said, build your house on solid rock, not on sand. Because when the storms come, and they'll come, your house will come crashing down. Why? Because the belief has to go in me, in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. So, I thought this was gold when I found that statement, right? I thought that was gold. And I like finding gold every now and then. And then yesterday, I'm performing a wedding in Niagara on the Lake. And it starts at 5. I'm going to be there for 4 because that's just smart. And I get to Grimsby. And my car all of a sudden starts to rev. And my engine light comes on, and another little drive light indicator flashes. And it's like, panic sets in. I said to April, I said, I think we've lost a gear. Feel like we're revving, the RPMs are way up, and it's like, I got to pull off, right? And my mind's going, oh my gosh. I think, what time was it, 2:30 at the time? No, later than that, it was almost 3 o'clock, 2 hours, right? All of a sudden, you think you got tons of time, all of a sudden, you don't have tons of time, right? And I pull off, and we pull off in this little parking lot, and I check the transmission fluid, it looks okay, and it's like, shoot, you know, you go on my phone, and look for a Honda dealership. Oh, when do the service centers close? Noon, right? And it's like, no, it's like, shoot. So then we better call them and let them know that we have trouble, because they may have to come and get us or that if we can't go any further. And place a text to Melanie. No answer back. I don't have Jurgen's phone number, so I Facebook message him, and nothing coming back. I call the place where we're going. There's going to be the wedding. And, hello, you've reached the Grand Victorian. If you could leave a message. I was like, seriously? And so here's mine. And by the way, I wasn't, blessed be the name. That wasn't happening. See, that's the test, right? We can sing here in the morning. That wasn't happening, and it wasn't going to happen. There I am with my hood up. I'm actually going, okay, I don't know if you're the great mechanic in the sky. Fix the car. Like, it's not like I'm a guest at the wedding. I gotta be there. I don't know if I can do it by internet. Right? I don't know if the government will approve of that. It's like, shoot. And so it was like, the thing wouldn't stop. So we got in the car and we limped, and I couldn't get higher probably than third gear. It's automatic. It wouldn't go any higher than third. Anyway. We got there at about 20 after 4, something like that. It was like, whew, right? And then, great. And actually, Jurgen's son looked at it, and he figured, no, you can limp that home, no problem. And we did. But the point is, my satisfaction yesterday afternoon had to come from God. And so my prayer was, it was like, no, you want to teach on this? You get to first experience it. And it was, and I, my prayer was, okay, God, not a good time. It was not a good time. Not right now. I actually bargained with God. Listen, we can do a clinic on Monday. Okay? We can do a clinic. Like, what do you want to put me through? On Monday. Not today. Not this. Not now. And it was like, no, it was quiet. And so as we started to drive off and we're just praying madly, I just had a sense. There's nothing I can do. And they'll have to come and get me if the car breaks down. You know, it's like, oh well. But that's the real deal, people. It's what happens when your car breaks down on the Queen Elizabeth Way on a Saturday. That's what it's about. It's about that. But it's about our belief. Let's pray. Let's stand up and get your blood flowing through you. And if I could have ministry team up. See, when we pray up here, your belief can't go in that. In fact, your belief can't even be in ministry time. Okay? Your belief can't be in ministry time. It can't be in the people who are on the prayer ministry team. And it can't be on the words they pray or how they pray. Or it can't be any of that. That's why I believe you could go up to a five-year-old boy from the Sunday school or from, you know, and say, can you pray for me? And the boy could just say, dear Jesus, please heal this person. And I think God would probably go, yeah, sure, that works. Right? Whereas somebody else, you know, could have some really beautiful prayer and, anyway, belief is in Jesus. Father, Lord, God, we do believe. Would you help our unbelief? Would you help our unbelief? Lord, it's so attractive to put our belief somewhere else, to put our belief into methods or into our church traditions or our belief in how we pray or how we do things. And Lord, we know all along our belief has to go in you. It has to be you. It has to be you. That has to be the center. That always has to be the center. And so, Holy Spirit, we just say, would you come right now? We believe. We believe you. You say you never leave us or forsake us. We believe that, Lord. You say the Holy Spirit comes to minister, to heal. The Holy Spirit corrects us and guides us and fills us and empowers us. We believe that because you say it, Jesus. Because you say it, we believe it. We believe, Lord, we trust in you. In fact, it's you that we trust in. We don't even put our full trust in our interpretation of your word, of the Bible. Because, Lord, our interpretation gets muddied sometimes. It gets muddied. But we put our faith in you. And we know, Lord, as we lean into you, as we look to you, we can be like that Roman officer who said, just say the word. My servant will be healed. And so, Lord, we know if you just say the word, you can heal us. Lord, we got folks here who are suffering emotionally, who are suffering with mental illnesses, physical illnesses, debilitating diseases, chronic diseases. And Lord, we just, Holy Spirit, we need you to come right now. Need you to come, and we need you to come, and we need you to heal us, and we need you, Lord, to bind up those wounds, bind those up. And Lord, we don't fully get it. We don't fully understand. We don't know why there's this tendency for us to. It's easy, Lord, to say all these things we believe until things go off the rails in our life. And then for some reason, Lord, it's hard. But Lord, we thank you even when it's hard for us. It's not hard for you. You come through. You break through. And you bring us through it. You bring us through it. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Krista, if you want to come up, I don't know if you're prepared for anything like, for any music, if you want. No. It's okay. We don't have to. Music isn't necessary. But if If I could have, if the front is open for prayer, if we could have prayer ministry team up here to pray for people, please. Did you have something to say? Okay, you think so? Good. So also, as we're calling on the Lord, we want the Lord to speak to us and shape us. That's why he gives us words and stuff. And so Rob is our lead elder, and he senses a word. It's not because he's a lead elder that he senses a word. I'm sure many of you have sensed God speaking. So, Rob.
Before Scott started his message, I heard these words from the Lord. I was just asking, sometimes I ask, Lord, is there anything you want to speak? Sometimes I ignore him, you know, like most of the rest of us. But today I listened and I heard him say, hang in there, I got this. And now after Scott's message, it became very clear what that means. I got this. It's a call to believe in Jesus and not in a method, like Scott was saying. So hang in there, Jesus says. I got this. Becky, hang in there. I got this. The board, hang in there. I got this. Elders, hang in there. I got this. Those with wayward sons and daughters, hang in there. I got this. Yeah, those with struggling with mental problems, depression, hang in there. I got this.
Okay. So I'll close off in prayer. You may go. If you want to come up for a prayer, though, come. If you're suffering with an ailment, try prayer. Try Jesus. Try. See what happens. How desperate are you? So, Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that yes, as you spoke to Rob, I've got this. We lean on you, Lord. We lean on you. So thank you, Father. Thank you. So we'll just continue in a time of ministry. Again, if you have to go, you're free to go now. And we bless you guys. Have a good day. Okay, be filled with the Spirit. Go in the Spirit. Go in the love of God. Go knowing that He loves you. Okay, bless you.